All right. So, welcome back, Nostalgia Hunters. I'm your host tonight, Michael, and I am with Andy and Jeffrey and Mike, the Deuce. Yeah. Today's episode is about the fifth generation of consoles. And specifically, we're going to be talking about the Nintendo 64 because it's somebody in this room's kind of favorite. And we're going to absolutely love on it tonight. Just love on it. but this console, to me, will forever be known as the Ultra 64, not the Nintendo 64. So, let's go ahead and get into it.
Well, instead of loving on it, can I just hate on my parents because I wanted one and they refused to buy me one when I was a kid?
It sounds like you're a terrible kid and you probably deserved whatever
you got.
That's
probably true. Sorry, Mom. Yeah.
So, real quick, this console came out late. It was supposed to come out in like 1994. Nintendo pushed it back. It came out in 96. That caused some fun things to happen, which I think Andy's done some research on, and I can add to whatever he's got there. And it was supposed to be a big deal because there was some SGI workstations that were being used to model this, like the graphics after, because 3D graphics were starting to become like a big thing and everybody's pushing into it. But the PlayStation had already been out, the Saturn had already been out, and there's actually some other consoles, even like the 32X or the Super FX chip in Super NES games were already out. So 3D was already there. And Nintendo really wanted to like hit a home run with this. This is one of the last consoles where they ever went all in on technology to try to make it as big as possible. And we'll talk about whether they failed or not.
That sounds like some foreshadowing. It's not whether they succeeded or not, whether they failed or not.
He's welcome to his opinion.
There's going to be some pros. There'll be some cons. It'll just be a few different things. Nintendo actually kind of pissed off one other major player and created one of the biggest companies in history for gaming because of their shady dealings. We'll also talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty much kind of the basic history of the Nintendo 64. Mike.
Yeah, okay. So what I want to start off with is just ask, what was everyone's first experience with the N64? For me, This just takes me back every time I think about this. We rented it from Blockbuster and went on a RV camping trip.
Did you even go outside?
I might have gone outside a little bit. And I remember playing...
Yeah, some of those games are outside, right? Outside?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. Super Mario 64, that's what I was playing. And the first level is totally outside. Anyway, and I swear I spent like hours sitting there messing around with Mario's face in the menu for Super Mario 64. You know how you can like bend his face?
You can mess with it. That was like their tech demo. Yeah. That was like their big thing. Like deforming a 3D model was kind of a big thing. So
that's just like a core memory for me. Like sitting in an RV with a tiny little CRT screen with my N64 that I rented from Blockbuster and just messing around with Mario's face. I think that was pretty fun time.
Nice. My first was at Walmart when they had the consoles. I mean, they still kind of do this, a place where they have like new consoles come out with games and everything like that. But they had the console set up and you could play Mario 64 on it. I remember hating it, but it's also because I only got to play it like 2 minutes at a time. And the whole idea of like 3D gaming, like for me, was pretty much new because the only console I'd ever had that my parents ever actually went and bought me was a Super Nintendo. And I played the hell out of that. But then, this was my first introduction to, 3D worlds. And trying to figure out how to play Mario 64 in about 2 minutes until my parents were walking to the next aisle and I had to follow along with them.
Oh, no.
I was like, I don't get it. This is stupid, but I want it.
Well, and of course, you're using this thing.
You probably didn't even know what this, analog stick was.
Well, I was able to, figure out running around and stuff. But it's, it felt like you, from my memory, couldn't see as much as to what you were trying to get around to. But again, I'd only play it in 2 minute increments, once a month.
Funny enough, I have two reasons as to why you felt that way.
We'll
let everybody keep going.
Oh, okay, but yeah, beyond that, other than playing it in Walmart, the only other time I played it was literally the 15 minutes we played it upstairs on your console.
We had a warm up session in the Smash and Snowboard Kids 2.
All of my playing of the N64 all accumulated is probably less than an hour.
I think it's very important to point out that your wife beat us in every single game that we played.
This was her console. Like, this, everybody had their first console that had a video game system growing up, and this was hers.
Yeah.
So, and actually, Smash was her first game. It's not her favorite game, but she knows how to play it.
Yep.
For me, honestly, it might have just been upstairs in your office the first time I ever really played with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Had you ever seen it?
I had seen it. Obviously, I'm into gaming a lot, so I knew the legendary nature of, like, oh, here's a 3D console. Everyone was chasing 3D, and Mario 64 knocked it out of the park, and, like, you know, was like, oh, the benchmark of, like, third-person camera view and everything. And in 3D, it still looked as fluid as the animation looked there. But yeah, for me, it was all from a distance. I think the earliest console I had from Nintendo that I played was GameCube. And, like, really remember playing. I know I remember playing cartridges and with Contra and some of those early games, but that could have been not a Nintendo. I don't even remember what it was. It could have been a rip-off Chinese thing.
Yeah, Contra was on the original NES, the Super NES. It could have been a Mega Drive.
Yeah, it could have been any of those things, which, as you said, was funny enough, was begging my grandfather to give me some rupees so we could go rent it.
Mm.
And my grandfather was convinced that this would ruin the TV.
Did you tell him that you get your rupees back?
It's like,
back,
hey, you're going to get virus day as a computer. The back in the day was, if you play too many video games, it ruins the TV. So he would literally pull the fuse from the house and pretend he didn't do it.
To wow. them.
But that was still, again, not this console. So those are my early memories of, like, console gaming.
Mm.
But, yeah, I've never... I took it as, this is weird, this is probably is terrible, like, is how I assumed it would be.
Yeah, it's
so, what it's I'm not hearing bad. When I played it, it was not bad. Yeah,
what I'm hearing is our opinions when we vote are going to matter more than yours because we had no experience with it. And if the whole point is, if this came out today as it is, would it still be cool? We're pretty much brand new to this, so it's like it came out.
That's going to be where my opinion actually comes from, because and my first experience, like yours, was actually in a store, a retail store. I was at Toys R Us. I probably had like 20 minutes, and I was playing Mario Kart 64 for the first time. And then we went back probably like a month or two later or something like that, and or maybe it was longer than that, actually, and they had Smash Brothers. And those are the two times that I played it originally, like when I first played this. But I had a PlayStation, and I had it 2 years prior to this because Sony came out with the PlayStation much faster than Nintendo came out with this. And so when this did finally come out, one of my buddies had a Nintendo 64, and I actually traded him my PlayStation for his N64 for short term. And I played through Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. I played a little bit of... I don't even remember what else I played. It was mostly just Legend of Zelda. So that's my old school, like that's all I had back in the day with this console. I don't have a ton of experience with it. All my experience comes from about 2017 on when I picked up another N64.
Hmm.
So I am kind of more, like, I know of this. I know the history of this. And I ended up getting a PlayStation because Nintendo screwed the pooch and they did not secure Final Fantasy VII. That was the main reason. The Final Fantasy VII went to PlayStation. I'm a Final Fantasy guy from number one on. And so I ended up buying the PlayStation entirely because of Final Fantasy VII. And I knew this wouldn't be coming out for at least a year at that point. And it was coming out on the PlayStation.
Was it because Squaresoft were having trouble building the game for this?
They had a tech demo, and yeah, they were trying to... They had their vision for what they wanted for the game, and cartridge is what Nintendo wanted out. Because Nintendo hates piracy. To this day, hates piracy. And cartridges are a little bit more secure than CD media at the time. And so they're like, absolutely not. We're not going to do that. And also they would have to pay Philips and Sony for the use of the CD drive because they had the patent.
Mm-hmm.
And they also hate stuff like that. So they went cartridge. So Squaresoft had an issue with that. and they ended up just going with the PlayStation, despite the fact that it never, like, Sony had never put out a console or anything like that. They're just much cheaper to develop for. The CDs cost pennies on the dollar, where these cartridges were like 10 bucks a piece, and 10 bucks in 1996, that's 95, not 96, not very cheap. And so it made the games for the N64 inferior in regards to storage capacity and also way more expensive.
Well, that's what I was going to ask was, would Final Fantasy VII had even been able to work on a cartridge?
Not like, the way it was done on the PlayStation. No, they did have a tech demo.
CDs, like there was even multiple CDs, right, for the PlayStation
one. Oh yeah, there was like three or four for Final Fantasy.
Were there
VII.
Any? I don't remember this. I don't think it's true. Were there any N64 games where you got to swap cartridges?
No.
Like disc one, disc two, like you could with the PlayStation.
No, there was one game that I can think of that actually had some magic going on, and it was Resident Evil 2. And the developers of that actually made this crazy compression technology that essentially let them put all the cutscenes and all the sound and all the audio and stuff from the PlayStation version of the game onto a cartridge. And it was one of the bigger cartridges that they couldn't even get that memory storage size, I think, for a couple of years. I think that was a later release. Somebody double check me on my facts here, but I'm pretty sure. But I read about that. And yeah, it's like one of those like games that just shouldn't exist pretty much, because it did actually have pretty much all the content from the CD version. It's one of the only games like that. But it was also very expensive to produce by comparison to if they just would have put it on CD.
Yeah, it's... So my digging into this, what I found most fascinating was the whole, I didn't know that was where the line was of like everyone's going CD. And Nintendo in like 91, I think, were like first partnered with Sony, because they needed, Sony made them their sound chips on their current hardware
On the Super Nintendo. Yeah. Ken Kutaragi went kind of rogue, made a sound chip pretty much. I think that was him. Made the sound chip with Sony.
He was really into, I want to get into the gaming console. So Sony was like, I'm going to just enter it. I'll make a chip for these guys. They're like, what can we make for them? Okay, this is something they can fully outsource and we'll take care of it. And Nintendo was obsessed with sound, because that even their handheld had stereo and other things. And it's like, they were really obsessed with sound. And so they had a good relationship. So Sony was like, we'll build you, you don't have CD technology, so we'll build you a CD player. Basically, we'll build a CD component that will sit on your console.
On the Super Nintendo.
Yep. And it will work. So they had literally a console that looked just like that. And instead, there was like a PlayStation thing on top that had a CD-ROM into it.
And so it was called the PlayStation.
The Nintendo PlayStation.
And it exists.
Oh, it definitely exists.
There is at least one of them.
They announced it. I think it...
I remember reading about it in magazines.
Yeah,
I was excited for it.
Electronics Expo. So I forgot which one they did, but they announced it.
At E3?
I don't know if it was E3 or something else. But they announced it, and what happened was Nintendo got extremely suspicious, because PlayStation was like, we're going to take royalties from all the CD parts. And like, so they were like slowly kind of encroaching on a lot of the dollars. They weren't just giving them a hardware piece. They wanted more. And Nintendo literally announced, and the next day Nintendo said, yeah, they showed that. Nintendo said, yeah, we're not going with Sony. We're going with Philips.
They went with Philips.
And then they went
Why would they announce it, even though, like, at the time, they must have already
Sony
made the decision?
Sony actually backstabbed them.
I just want to share. It was supposed to be a Nintendo PlayStation, and they announced it, and then Nintendo said, you know what, screw Sony, we're not doing the PlayStation, and that's why Sony had the name PlayStation to make their own PlayStation?
Yeah, they wanted to give Nintendo a big middle finger. They actually were so upset, because think of it, these are Japanese companies. And like kind of like the whole honor thing, like they're like, you just did us dirty and we're mad. So we're going to go out there and we're going to do our own thing. And they still kept the name PlayStation. So there is a Nintendo PlayStation that was supposed to be an add-on to the Super Nintendo. And because like the Sega Genesis also got the Sega CD
add-on. So you buy like a Super Nintendo and the Nintendo PlayStation, you like plugged it into the cartridge drive and became a... Okay, yeah. That's weird.
And so they were like... Sony said not just of hardware. They were like, oh, every we will own the format of the CD. Yep. We will own the licensing.
They wanted the royalties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a sudden thing because Nintendo had been negotiating with Philips for months already. Because in the end, they knew what the agreement looked like. And so they were already like, yeah, we can do this. We just want someone to build this.
It was how they did it.
Yeah.
And is that how the GameCube came to be with the Philips?
GameCube wasn't with Philips.
No, they've had their own.
Yeah.
Well, then what did Philips do? Because I don't remember a CD drive
that,
until the GameCube.
That is the Philips CDI right there. And that is actually what ended up becoming kind of, it was real big in Europe, specifically in like Scandinavian territories, but it was out over here and everything. And it's kind of a edutainment sort of system, CD-based by Philips. And Philips was going to provide them the CD, like Nintendo, the CD drive, access to the patent, because it's a dual patent. It was Philips and Sony. And Philips gave Nintendo a lot better options on that. And so that's why Nintendo said, screw you, Sony. We're going to go with Philips. And what they ended up doing is Philips came out with their own console. It was more like an edutainment thing. Like you could, like, I've actually got one of these upstairs and it's got a weird library and it's not a very good gaming system, but it has three Zelda games. It has one Mario game. And I think that's it for the,
I swear I played a CDI in a freaking hotel.
You might have. They were in hotels. In fact, actually, I want to get a hotel variant of this.
Yeah. So Nintendo said, screw you, Sony. We're going to do this thing with Philips. They create this thing with Philips that I'd never even heard of.
Yep.
No, and so Sony was like, we'll make something better.
No. So Nintendo, what happened was the game took like 20 minutes to load because it was on a CD. CD was... The whole point is a cartridge would cost, like in today's terms, like $100 to sell. Like, and the CD was cheap, easily made. They could make in weeks what it took months to make cartridges because cartridges like literally soldering chips. Well, CD was like just burning things on a CD and shipping it, so right?
You just had to press them, and they were super fast to press.
Yeah, and so, but whenever they saw a demo, Nintendo didn't like it that it took way too long to load games. And they're like, no one's going to wait 15 minutes to load a Mario game.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, true. Well, here's the funny thing. Is like, that's always talked about, but in the PlayStation, like, you'll be hard-pressed to find a game where you wait more than 2 or 3 seconds.
They figured it out.
Like they, and it's only a 2, I think it's only a 2X
speed
drive. Then my point
becomes like, when they decided to partner with Philips, was there ever a Nintendo Philips system that actually ever came out?
No. Nintendo was going to use their CD drive for their next console or for to make that add-on for the Super Nintendo. And then they decided that wasn't good because the Sega CD bombed so hard. And the 32X also bombed so hard for Sega. Like, they found out, like, people might not buy these add-ons, but they will buy a new console. And so they decided to switch gears, and that's actually what ended up delaying the Nintendo 64 partially, is because they just wanted to build out something new, and they ended up going with just cartridge technology again.
Mm. So, and like you said, Sony was like, they got, because it
Sony
was public.
Sony was like, hold my beer.
Public, yeah, public humiliation, being announcing that, oh, look, we're going to build something with them, and then it's like, no, completely killed it. So they just went, okay, we're going to build our own.
And they went and they made a console, the PlayStation, which has like a crazy, like, you know, sold crazy. It was cheap. Had the famous, what was it, $199?
$299.
Or $299, where the guy just walks up there. All he had to say at this big event was $299, and he walked away.
Because Sega said $399.
Yeah, Sega was $399, and Nintendo wasn't even there. They already announced their delay, and Sony just one, even though they'd never put out a game before.
So Final Fantasy VII, why? Because Sony were the kind of dirty, bigger company, so they just bullied. And they did extreme amount of marketing. Oh, their CDs actually sucked because like they put just scratches and it was too delicate. And it wasn't a perfect technology then.
I remember renting games from Blockbuster that were dead because they got scratched so much.
They had the cool black bottoms, though. They look cool.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't going great, but Nintendo is not in the market. And Sony was selling bonkers because they were just strong-arming themselves into the market.
Well, they were saying cheaper, I have limited and no experience with the N64. I played the shit out of Metal Gear Solid on PlayStation. I'm just saying.
I did too. I for years I'd already been playing on the PlayStation before this thing even came out. So, yeah.
Of course, I got my PlayStation. Same thing. Like I said, the only console my parents ever bought me was the Super Nintendo, and that took a lot of begging to get that. when it came to the PlayStation, if I'm remembering correctly, like by that point, like I was like 15, had a job, 16, something like that, like to where I had money coming in, I had to go buy it myself. which is fine. I mean, like we should be like buying our own things as we're getting old enough to have money.
I was a kid.
Why I never had any of that stuff. And
I was a kid that was good with my money, so I actually bought my own Super Nintendo and then PlayStation.
Well, you're a little older than me. When Super Nintendo came out, I wasn't old enough to work. It was against the law.
I was like 10. But like I'd been saving up for years. I knew this thing had been coming up for years, and I got like $5 a week for allowance.
I got my nickel a week, and I went and bought me some gummies.
I had like $300 or $330 or something like that for when the Super Nintendo came out. Damn. So I was able to buy the Super Nintendo, all the launch games, and I bought a couple more games after that.
How many launch games was it? Two.
For the Nintendo 64?
Yeah.
There was Mario 64. Mario 64.
And the Pilot, Pilot Wings.
64. Yeah. And was Mario Kart 64 out yet?
I can't remember if Mario Kart was a launch game.
Launched with two. Yeah. It only launched with Mario 64. And it sold out like crazy still. They didn't need a big...
It was Nintendo.
Can you imagine a console came out and only two games work on it?
Well, freaking Pilot Wings, no one talks about that, but I never played it. I assume it was okay, but Mario 64 was such a freaking banger. Like, imagine if they both were just mediocre games.
Oh, yeah.
I actually played a lot of Pilot Wings 64 because I like the original Pilot Wings on Super Nintendo, so I've actually played it more than... Mario 64, I think.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I played through almost all of Mario 64, but I didn't actually beat it. Because, like I said, I didn't get this until 2017, and I bought it with a bunch of other stuff, too. So I've sampled a lot of the library, but not really gone super deep.
Yeah, I noticed when we were playing Smash earlier, you had no characters unlocked.
Yeah, no.
I couldn't play my main Captain Falcon.
Falcon Punch?
Yeah.
Is that what that's from?
Yes.
Yes.
Like I said, I never had an N64, so this stuff is just.
Yeah, it was a good. It was.
But I've heard Falcon Punch a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Super Smash Bros. I cut my teeth on that. Like, I swear I grew up playing that game.
A lot of people did.
I played it so dang much. And, like, the kids on my street, we would all get together and, you know, have contests, you know, versus battle, four-player versus each other all the freaking time. And I remember one of my friends, I would come over there and we would just train against the level 9 CPUs and just like try to prepare for the next time we versus battle against people.
it was like one of those like 90s montages, basically.
Like freaking Karate Kid. Yeah. Yeah, we did that with Smash Bros. It was so great.
Does that make me antisocial that like you're talking about all these games you collaborative play? And all my favorite games that I played a shit ton of are all the solo player games.
I played a lot of solo player games because N64 is the first console that really made multiplayer a big thing. Like there was for the PlayStation, you could get I think they had a 5-player tap and you can actually hook up two of them because we did have, it was either eight kids or 10 of us playing like one of the football games on a PlayStation, but that wasn't normal.
Right.
It was normal on the Nintendo 64. Everybody had four controllers. Everybody had GoldenEye. Everybody, of course, had Mario Kart. And
and everyone played their GoldenEye on like a 6-inch screen because that was your block of the
imagine
television.
Imagine what you saw upstairs with half the size, and that's what most kids had.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the last before Switch? Was this the most successful thing Nintendo had?
Because
I feel like GameCube,
this was actually very unsexual.
This wasn't successful?
This was unsuccessful.
Yeah, because my parents wouldn't buy it for me.
Relatively, is what you're trying to say?
Yeah, well, PlayStation 1? Oh, Lord, the numbers of PlayStation sold compared to N64, the only reason why this thing isn't, is the Saturn just bombed. The Sega Saturn absolutely bombed over here. It did really well in Japan, but it did not do well over here. There's a lot of things going on with Sega, marketing, stuff like that. It was also really hard to develop for, program for. And that's actually one of the problems the N64 ran into as well. Is there were some issues there. It wasn't quite as bad as the Saturn, but it wasn't quite as easy as the PlayStation. PlayStation was less hardware. This is more superior hardware technically, but they did some hardware shenanigans with this that actually just kneecapped it. And that's just the reason why today a lot of PlayStation games look better today than almost the entire N64
library. Well,
they couldn't hold big textures and shit.
Hold on. Okay, so let's talk about hardware. So first off, let's just start with the big elephant in the room.
Yeah.
The controller.
You mean that terrible thing?
What is y'all... Okay, I know your opinion. What's your opinion of the controller? You just got to try it upstairs.
I'm first timer, right? Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
It's got batteries in it.
I was holding this, and then I was like, wait, it's got triple A batteries. And now it's, if I don't, like, it'll tilt out.
See, the thing is, you're holding the controller wrong.
I know. It's supposed to be
no
like
games
this.
You ever actually play like this.
No, you can't do the traditional.
There,
almost
there,
no games you play
there
like
is,
this.
There is, what is it? Treasure made it. Treasure.
So I know we're called nostalgia or cool, but I would say for the time. So is this the first Mischief ever, makers. Like, joystick analog put into the whole controller? I know there were analog that existed like giant joysticks.
Yeah.
I don't know. If PlayStation came out before this, it would have had
PlayStation. I think
one didn't have.
It didn't have DualShock.
No, it did not launch with DualShock. In fact, it actually didn't even launch with the DualShock when it came out. It had a dual analog controller that did not have the rumble feature because there was actually a lawsuit going on for the patent on that, and they got that figured out. And then the DualShock came out. And that was the dual analog controller, and that one is still used today, basically. Look at the DualShock 5.
Very minor refinements.
And Xbox uses it, Nintendo uses it, Sony still uses it, so it is hard to claim that any other controller could actually be better than that, or at least in regards to design for comfort. There's, you know, like where the analog stick is versus the D-pad is what everybody argues over for Xbox versus PlayStation. But
I'm going to say, for their time, an actual trigger... underneath
the Z trigger,
so Z
that's
trigger.
Actually really cool.
This is there. This is, I'll say, for the first time, it's pretty good. But every time I've looked at it, I assumed this is very uncomfortable, is what I looked at it thinking.
Mike already pointed out there's literally like one or two game Mischief Makers. This game right here is one of the very few games that uses D-pad and does not use the analog.
Wow.
There's a few fighting games. I think the Clay Fighter games might use the... There's quite a few games that use that, the D-pad, but it's so few.
Well, and that's the funny thing. Like, there were some games you literally had to switch around how you were holding the controller just
to
play.
That would be annoying.
Yeah.
I like the grooves to make it more like it pushes you to like know which way to, because I think it's to make sure you could read.
Oh yeah,
what would you call those yellow buttons? Just like, since you don't know a lot about the controller,
it says C's
extra
C
shit
on
you
it.
Don't need.
That's it. It says C on it. They're... So I play the game and I was constantly, my hand naturally went to these four instead of A and B because this feels even more awkward. So I just went like this, which meant like I had no idea what they were
doing.
What
do you think the C stands for?
Hold, I don't even know that.
Crouch?
Camera.
Camera?
Camera. This is not a dual analog stick, so those are supposed to be the camera control buttons. If you play Mario 64, you'll use those buttons and you'll do a lot of different things with the camera with those buttons. You're supposed to mostly use A and B.
Mm-hmm. That's just...
Yeah, so that was their kind of way to handle that in a 3D
man,
space.
Man, that's why I was losing in Smash, because I was like going with these four trying to... I did not look at it and realize, oh, these are just arrow keys.
Yep.
Now, I will say this is the most, in my opinion, memorable controller
out
of any controller you've ever seen.
I like how it looks.
Because it is very
iconic.
Unique.
Yeah.
It is very unique. But just for overall gameplay, like, no.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say, like, I love the N64, but this was a terrible design. The weird thing is, though, I can't play N64 on, like, a regular, like, one of those new ones that still have everything the N64 had, but is, like, a normal
controller.
Oh,
the one I played upstairs.
Yeah, I can't do that. I have to play it with this thing because I got so used to it, but... That's
part of why Marcy has that she thought she had an extra USB or N64 controller. It was actually a USB one.
Because
she was playing on an emulator on PC. And so it ended up getting her a USB one because it's ingrained. If you grew up with that, that's so I get it.
I remember getting blisters on my hand playing Mario Party and having to do this with the freaking analog
stick.
Dude,
the first time Marcy and I played Mario Party, because she loves the Mario, there's three Mario Party games that came out on this guy, and she loves them. And I told her, I was like, you absolutely cannot take the controller and do this, because it actually,
what you gotta do to
it
win.
Would actually ground into this and it would end up ruining the analog stick. Yeah. So if you see, like, most N64 controllers that you'll run across that are original controllers are going to be really, really, like, they don't have this snappiness or anything like that. They're going to be super loose and feel terrible and not work very well because of that.
This third party,
and she's like, screw you, I'm doing it anyway.
This third party one I have, it gets by that by making them replaceable.
Oh, was this modded?
Yes, I modded that.
Oh, you modded that to
Yes,
be...
that is that's HDMI out. I added RGB HDMI out, so it actually just plug into that TV and it worked.
We need to quickly talk about library.
Let me say one thing real quick. On the front of my Nintendo 64,
it's Ultra.
Ultra 64. Real quick backstory on that. The original name for this was supposed to be the Ultra 64. And if you go and you play Cruisin' USA or Killer Instinct in the arcade, it always says, like, and coming soon for the Ultra Nintendo Ultra 64! Like, in a really loud, annoying voice like that. And what happened is Konami... had a second games, actually had multiple game division, because Nintendo would only allow a certain amount of games per year to come out. One of them was called Ultra Games, and that was the one where Metal Gear came out on. It was under the Konami, it was under Ultra Games, and there was going to be a lawsuit over the Ultra name, and Nintendo was going to have to settle, so they said, screw it, we're going to call it Nintendo 64. So forever when I'm reading about this, the whole time, I'm like, the Ultra 64, that's a badass name. And they changed it to the Nintendo 64, I'm like, that's lame. So,
so did you have to go find your own little Ultra sticker thing to put on the front of that?
I got that off eBay.
Yeah,
somebody made it.
Nerd made it. I'm not the only one.
I don't know if, like, some of them came out and, like, oh shit, and flipped it.
This is actually the logo they were going with. This is their original design. So yeah, this is Nintendo's design. They just never actually put it on a Nintendo 64 because of Konami. Fuck Konami.
Okay, so anyway, let's quickly talk about library. This is what I think was Nintendo's strong suit, and you're probably going to disagree, but Nintendo had a smaller library than PlayStation by far. However,
a little tiny baby library. I like your drill.
Nintendo had way more hits, at least in my opinion. And I don't know if they won more awards or whatever, but in my opinion, they did well with controlling the library and making sure that no, like, fluff came out on it. Whereas I feel like PlayStation went kind of rampant with that.
Yeah, the library, I mean, everybody's going to debate that, because everybody's going to be like, oh, my childhood was Perfect Dark, was GoldenEye, was, like, yeah. Or
I,
like,
mean, all three of them are PlayStation.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, is, like, all the biggest sellers of the generation were all on PlayStation.
Okay.
Because, well, there's a lot more PlayStation sold.
There were, like, just more PlayStations.
There's 100 billion PlayStation sold, and there's like 35 million of these sold. Like, it wasn't even close.
Yeah, but I want to know, do the average ranking of the games on freaking Metacritic or something.
Is there a Metacritic for
fifth gen? I bet there's a Metacritic for freaking everything. I don't know. Y'all probably have no
opinion.
What are
you trying to say?
I was going to say, is, like,
are you trying to say that their quality
here
was better?
Right. I think, in my opinion, Nintendo's quality of their library was better. And that was actually a really big thing back in the day.
Look at this. 102 million sold for PlayStation and not even 33 for Nintendo 64.
Right. That was a big thing back in the day because the rental business was huge, right? You go into a Blockbuster, Hollywood Video, and go to rent a video game. You go to almost any N64 game and you pick it out, you're going to have a good time. You go to some random PlayStation game, you pick it out, you could hit it lucky, or you could get total trash.
But is that the console's fault?
I mean,
because it sounded like you said that. Well, it sounded like you said that Nintendo acted, I guess, sort of like what Apple does today, where they are very tight and controlling what's allowed
Apple
to be on their platform.
Apple is very much modeled after Nintendo.
Whereas PlayStation felt more like a, hey, here's our console. Here's how the information you need to know to be able to make a game on the console. Have fun. So to me, I'm like, that doesn't necessarily mean that the console has any problems with it. or any problem with their library because they're not the ones necessarily controlling it. So I think it's a bit of an apples and oranges kind of situation. I get what you're saying, but it's not comparing the same thing. Whereas, because if I say, hey, here's a construct, like a set of rules to do something, you do whatever you want, then you're going to get some good stuff, you're going to get some bad stuff, and there's going to be a lot more variety, though. Whereas if I'm saying, like, hey, you bring me the games you want, I'll say whether I'm going to allow it or not.
N64 has a lot of trash.
Oh, my God. Here you go.
There's the heavy hitter. There's the heavy hitter games, and everybody knows them. Everybody can go through the list that lived through that. And then after that, it's like, where's the third-party games? Where it's in the same
thing. You don't need the third-party games. All the first-party are great.
But even the first-party ones weren't even all that good. And then a lot of them ended up both being on PlayStation and N64, and the inferior hardware PlayStation version was almost always better. So
Once again, that's opinion.
That is not opinion. Like, just go look at, like, what is it, Gex, like Glover, Gex. Basically any of the 3D platformers that were on both consoles, it always ran better on the PlayStation. There was less fog. What I was saying earlier about the hardware is they made like some concessions here, where like there's like these textures, little bitty tiny baby textures that were great for Nintendo games that had a very simplistic look, but they couldn't do any of like. When PlayStation games in like 99, 2000 were coming out, they were getting like 3D rendered models that were like so optimized and actually looked like people. And Nintendo 64 could barely do that. And they always constantly had like fog in the background in tons of the games because they just had almost no draw distance.
It was cinematic fog.
It was not cinematic fog. And then also you throw in the fact that, let's just roll into final thoughts, I guess, on this. One of my
I'll let you guys know what three of the people at least are voting.
Well, yeah. I'll let you guys know pretty much some of this stuff because my opinion is definitely more based in now than it is back then. I have no nostalgia for this, but I am also a retro game console collector. I didn't think I would like the Sega Saturn. It is actually, I fucking love the Sega Saturn. The games, the library, especially when you count the Japanese stuff. So good. Like, it's right up there with PlayStation for me, and PlayStation is one of my favorite consoles of all time. N64, on the other hand, most of the games, they don't hold up today because Nintendo wanted them to all be 3D, to all use that analog stick. A lot of it didn't work very well with the camera. Most of the third-party stuff wasn't that good. There was some hardware stuff that they kneecapped. Like, this is great hardware, except for they kneecapped it in the wrong spots to cheap out. And also another thing is they forced this anti-aliasing and something else. I think it starts with a D.
Dithering?
Dithering. They forced that. And there's a lot of that on PlayStation too, but they forced that a lot in a lot of these games because they knew a lot of people were going to be playing on CRT TVs with component cables and nothing more high fidelity. So when you go to hook up one of these in modern times or through an emulator without any of the smoothing filters and stuff like that on it, a Nintendo 60, like if you looked at my, that's actually the other reason why I turned on the N64 on my OLED TV. You saw how rough it looked. Like compared to the CRT, it looks good. But on that monitor, it looks rough. And PlayStation games, Saturn games, and other games of that era do not look like that. And it's because Nintendo forced this stuff on and it makes them all look kind of like trash. And there's, like, that's actually part of the reason why I modded this console is I can go in and actually turn that on and off on certain games and it'll make them look at least slightly better. And that's, so I know what it's good at. I fully admit this is the best multiplayer console you could have had as a kid, by far. However, for just straight game library, for the amount of bangers or even mid-tier stuff and even just interesting slop, PlayStation just destroys the N64 in every way because there's just so many more games and there's so many more devs trying more stuff because they didn't have to like bet the farm on the game. And a lot of times the N64 games just didn't come out because nobody knew how to do 3D at the time. And it was all crapshoot. So yeah, playing this today is rough and I am not alone in that opinion. So anyway, that's my take. I think it is purely nostalgia.
Okay, anyway. I'll go next.
All right, oh my God.
He's like, I gotta counter that.
He's bursting over here.
I mean, I absolutely disagree on the library thing because I can barely remember
many. Did you own a PlayStation?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Many good games that me and my friends would talk about playing and just talk about how good it was. Whereas Nintendo was always on our minds. Maybe that I was just in some microcosm.
My friend group, exact opposite.
Yeah, okay, exact whatever. Opposite. Your fan group is weird.
No, that's what I'm just saying. It's like, I'm saying, like, you're being biased.
No, I
by your group that you had at the time. And mine, like, yeah, we didn't hate on this. Actually, back then, there was a lot of love for the N64, but we just, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, I mean, I am biased. I will say, yes, for sure, I am biased. Mm-hmm. But I still would like to look at, objectively, what the critics have determined when it comes to average PlayStation 1 game and average N64 game.
What would that matter?
Don't need to look it up now, because I want to say the quality of the library was better. There are obviously things that I didn't like about it, especially the controller. Although, I mean, for some reason, it's really ingrained in my head how to play games with it. And I thought the rumble pack and, like, the things you can do with the controller were really cool, too. So
I never liked that they didn't put the rumble pack and the memory together officially. There's third-party accessories that did that, but Nintendo required one or the other.
When I can't remember if you could even, like...
You can either enjoy the game or save the game. Pick one.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, none of the games could support both at the same time.
They did let you hot swap them. So you could, like, save... Like, you could have in Star Fox, you can save your game, and then you put the rumble pack back in.
Yeah.
So it was fine. It's just kind of annoying.
I am very nostalgic for this console. It is definitely my favorite console of all time. The favorite system I've played of all time. And when I look at it, though, I mean, I will say that it would not hold up well if in terms of today. Like, think of almost any older game console, it wouldn't hold up well today. We've just gone so far past it in terms of technology and usability.
PlayStation does.
And no, it doesn't. And story and just everything about games today is just completely different and completely better. And so I can't in good conscience say that this is cool today. It is definitely nostalgia.
Ooh, we had a little turn that
didn't see coming.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna clutch
that thing to your chest and go to the grave with it.
I mean, I probably will.
Yeah.
But I ain't gonna sit here and say that if Nintendo came out with this today, they would actually be successful. I mean, there's no way. So.
Well, I mean, I'll go next just to disagree with one thing that you said. And that is, like, you said how the games have gotten so much better and the graphics so much better. And so because of that, that's a point against why this wouldn't play well. But I was like, well, I'll disagree, because there is tons of games that come out nowadays, including this great thing. It's called, like, Vengeance Hunters or something like that. I don't remember. But...
Why does this game keep coming up? I need to hear more about it.
Yeah. I'm like, we're invested but they're all in done.
Like, there are all these games done in an old style that are coming out today, and that are still, like, being big hits. So I don't think necessarily that the graphics being so much better nowadays is necessarily a notch against this. But having just played it a little while ago, I'm not going to lie and say I didn't have some fun. I did. I absolutely had some fun. Getting my ass handed to me with the little Smash Brothers game or whatever, and then getting my ass handed to me in some weird snowboarding game.
You better get it right, or my wife will whip your ass. It was Snowboard Kids 2.
Her favorite game of all time. I had one of the two words.
Hey, you almost beat him in that last race.
Oh, jumping on his head.
One of the most epic finishes of all time in, like, his second race ever. Yes, I wish we could have recorded it. But it was great. He was pretty much just trying to jump over his shoulders at the very end. It was epic. Just trust us.
Thrilling finish.
Like, yes. It was like, that's how close they were. But anyways, I'm not going to say it's not fun to play it, but definitely would not hold up today if it came out at all, in my opinion. Like, you can have older style stuff come out and have it be a hit, and it's still incredibly fun. This, like, while the controller is definitely, I'll go ahead and say the word, iconic, because it's so unique, it's a shit controller, in my opinion, for how you're trying to control things. Because, like, in that snowboard game, I literally, like, if not for this, I probably would have beat you. I got stuck somewhere backwards and couldn't get turned back around to go the right way on the stupid course.
That's a skill issue.
So, but that's that. The freaking controller worked better. But anyways, so yeah, absolutely nostalgia. Like, this will probably be the last time that I ever play an N64, unless we randomly do something here again. So.
Maybe we'll play some gold. Some, play some GoldenEye.
I want to play some GoldenEye.
I've never played it.
I've only had one night of playing it. Like, I literally played it all night with some friends.
Yeah.
And that was actually, that's a core memory for me, actually. Like, that's where I kind of loved the N64 a little bit. But that's also everybody else's core memory. It's literally just these four or five games, and that's it. There's nothing else.
It'd be hilarious if four of us are like, hey, we're going to do a sleepover. All ladies, no ladies, no kids. It's just us four guys just playing ancient games.
Yeah.
No girls allowed.
Dude, that sounds great.
Let's do it.
Last one. What's up?
Yeah. So... actually made me question a lot of just the cool versus nostalgia voting thing, because I felt like even though you said it's nostalgia, but does it matter? Because you're going to go buy it if it came out. Like a special edition, Nintendo put out special edition N64.
They still haven't.
Then you would go buy it. I think you would.
I would not. I do not. I don't own the NES or Super NES minis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Okay.
Oh, the re-releases?
No,
is what
I don't. But that's actually not because I don't think they're cool. It's because I didn't really want them because I have the originals. And also, they're just kind of emulation. You know, and I've got the originals. And so I wasn't super into
it. It's not real because it doesn't have slow chips on
it. Like, and I'm not some sort of, like, I don't have any sort of, like, anything like that. But I was like, I already have this set up to play. And I didn't want another shelf piece, pretty much. For something like that, so yeah.
I'll say if they put in a special edition N64 with all the games, I wouldn't be buying
it. There would be, and they know it too.
Yeah,
it was by far the least popular console out of those first three generations, and also the games just don't hold up today. Like you can go and play a NES game, a Super NES game today. In fact, tons and tons of like
we were going about the Ninja Turtles, Ninja Turtles in Time, and how cool it still
looks. The animation still
looks
great.
That's for me the big. Because I would have voted that as still cool, the one before, because they had perfected 2D, and they knew how to fit all of it in. And one thing that was like, as an engineer for me, is they limited space, so they could only put in gameplay. All of it was the game had to feel good playing. It wasn't going to be amazing visuals, and they couldn't do too many scripted events or anything like that that took too much memory. So it all had to be how you interacted with the world was great, but it was too soon. I think it was early 3D,
which is funny because it was late.
The PlayStation was like they were forcing 3D as well. In fact, in the US they wouldn't even let most 2D games. Like, some amazing-looking games had to stay in Japan. And Nintendo basically rode that same wave. Like, everybody, especially over here, is like, 3D, 3D, 3D. So that's why they're all 3D games. And that's a good reason. That's another reason why the limited library here, they're still all, like, 3D games, and none of them look very good today, where the 2D art games that were way more prevalent on the, like, Sega Saturn specifically, but then also the PlayStation, they aged, like, fine wine. Like, they still look insane today. Like, insane. Some indie games don't even look as good as some of those original, especially the 32-bit era PlayStation, Sega, Saturn games. And there's no game on the N64 that can say that.
Yeah, they just kneecap themselves by going to 3D but not building a console that could hold that many 3D assets and all that library there. So,
and the cost, like, yeah, that was another reason why people didn't, like, buy it in droves. Like, it just cost too much. The games cost too much.
I don't know, man. Today, playing it, I didn't like it. I didn't like the view of the games. I wish this.
And I played on a better controller.
Yeah, and then I was like, I wish this was just 2D. For me, it was like it would have looked way better. This is terrible. I'll take amazing 2D over any mediocre 3D rendering.
Please don't hit us, Marcy.
Imagine Smash Brothers done with like 32-bit, 64-bit era of gaming in 2D with like hand-drawn animation rather than the 3D polygons. Like how detailed they would have gotten and how
like,
crazy
you know,
that
Street
would look
Fighter,
with
that kind of
Street
you
Fighter
know.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
If they would have done it, would have looked insane, and it still would have played exactly the same because it's a 2D game.
I felt like this is my physically felt like I'm hitting a button to jump
Only. Well, because he says something could go this way, but then he sounds like a lot going this way. So I'm like, which way are you going, buddy?
Everybody's on the edge.
That was for me too. But then in the end, I'm like, it's nostalgia for me. I feel like it. Looking at it, felt like this is the definition of nostalgia, where their parts of it are very cumbersome and difficult and all that, but you love it because you spend your childhood playing it. So that's the only reason, really.
All right. Well, there you have it, Nostalgia Hunters. Is it cool or is it nostalgic? And we are unanimous here. It's Which nostalgic.
Surprisingly,
I thought you were unanimous. Going to go cool. I thought this is your ride or die forever. But anyway, no, well, it looks like the
It's probably like he agrees it's nostalgia, but it's so nostalgic for him that he feels it's cool, but he couldn't. I don't know. That was very surprising.
So. That's what I was trying to wrestle with also. Is like, yeah. Is it so nostalgic that it's still cool for him, right? Yeah. Like, that's possible, but...
All right, well, I guess I'll finish up my outro here. Pretty much, we've been your hosts. I'm Michael, we got Andy, Jeffrey, Mike the Deuce.
The Deuce.
We're talking about fifth generation consoles, the N64 today. Everybody like, subscribe. Hit us up on basically all the different socials. I don't know if you've set up any of those or anything like that.
No, we have an email, though.
We have an email address. In 2025, we have an email address.
Look, just tell us.
It's our theme, man.
Nostalgia, right?
Can I write a postcard into the show,
please? We have a MySpace. Is it cool enough?
Yeah. We have a P.O. box.
Oh, Lord.
All right, so everybody, have yourself a good night and take care.
See ya.
Peace.
Is it horrible for me to say that Nintendo's not been good since the Super Nintendo?
No.